What is it that we want comfort from? What is there? Because everybody has a different thing. Our scriptures are going to be something very obvious that the character needs comforted from. But, you know, comfort is something that we all have a different understanding of what that is. I just want that in your mind this morning as we come together in worship. Let's turn to our announcements. There's only a few that I want to touch on this morning. Next week is October, the beginning of October, and we have our communion on the beginning of the month always, but this is the World Communion Sunday, which means that the churches all across the globe are coming together on this day to make sure that we all come together in communion. As a part of that, the United Methodist Church has tucked into it a special offering that is helps us to consider the worldwide mission. And so there's a special offering that'll be taken that day that helps to provide scholarships for education and other entities that are primarily focused around the world, which includes being here in the States. So it's something that is worldwide. So I just want to have that in your mind as you come next week. If you want to bring a special offering, we'll be receiving that for World Communion Sunday. Also, there's an opportunity through our Stephen Ministries ministry to have, there's a connection within the area, so there's a training that is going on October 12th, and so there's talking about hospice and the myth versus facts and all things about that. So if that's something that you want to have more information about and way to make an understanding of if that comes into your needs, that you would have more information, that is the time to do that. Also, as the church, we need you. You are the church. So as every year we have different committees and things that are people are committing themselves to that work. And we will be nominating folks for different entities that have open positions. But if you have something that you want to be connected with, even if it's not on the list, come talk to me. We want to be able to connect people where their passions are. But there is on the bulletin board that's out on the side, if you go out toward the offices, there's a bulletin board. It has all of the different committees and things that are a part of the church. And so if you want to be a part of something, let me know so that we can get you connected. I think with that, that's where I want to land today as we go into our time of worship. Let us prepare as we receive the prelude this morning. Thank you.
Good morning. Please rise for the call to worship. It is printed in your bulletins and on the screens. God is our refuge and our fortress.
In God we place our trust.
When we are weary,
God lifts us up on wings like eagles.
Come before the Lord with joy and longing. And please remain standing for our opening hymn, Rejoice, Ye Pure in Heart. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, 3, and 5. They are again on your screens and in your hymnal number 160. And next, please join me in our opening prayer, just printed in your bulletin and again on the screens. Generous Spirit, you call us to share our riches with the poor and disadvantaged, lest we follow self-interest to our ruin and destruction. Teach us to bestow your blessings on those in need, lest we be trapped by selfish desire. Set our hearts on the riches of good works rather than the allure of earthly treasures. Help us take hold of the life that really is life. Amen. And if I could have the children come forward for a quick children's moment.
You went fast.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. So I have noticed there is something out that wasn't out last month. Like last month, I did not see pumpkins for sale. Can you find pumpkins for sale right now? you can see them all over the place. So I want to talk about pumpkins today. So I brought a pumpkin. Here is one. It's not a real pumpkin. It's just a fake pumpkin. Mm-hmm. But look at this pumpkin. Okay? I'm going to set it over here. And then here's another pumpkin. And what's different about this pumpkin?
Lots of things.
It is a different color. It's tied, it's still on the vine, kind of, right?
Yeah.
It's still, this one's taken off the vine, and this one's on the vine. And that's, if you're going to, one way to determine pumpkins in Ohio right now is that half of them are probably picked, and half of them are still on the vine. So one thing that I want you to know about pumpkins that are still on the vine, let's see if I can get that to stand. Stay there. There we go. I learned this, and I guess it's one of those things where it was like, well, yeah, that makes sense, but I'd never thought of it before. Do you know that once we pick a pumpkin, can it grow anymore? It doesn't. It stops growing as soon as you pick it off of the vine. But what about the pumpkins that are still on the vine? Can they still grow? That's the message that I want you to know about today, because they say that God says that he is the vine. Jesus said he is the vine and we are the branches. Or, in this case, he is the vine and we are the pumpkins. Do we want to be connected to Jesus? We do. We want to be connected so that we can keep growing. So we want to be this pumpkin, not this pumpkin. And that's what my message is for you today. What are some ways that we can stay connected to Jesus?
Sneak attack.
Does anybody know? You guys know? What are some ways that you stay connected to Jesus? By loving him. I love that. Beautiful. Reading the Bible, for sure. Reading his word. Praying. He's a good sharer.
Sharing.
I love it. He's sharing. Very good. Very good. Coming to church, connecting with people, prayer. There's a lot of ways that we can stay connected. You're a good passer outer, I tell you. He is.
Time to go.
But that is, he's right. That is the message. That's the take-home message, guys, that I want you to remember today. When you look at pumpkins and you see them that they're picked and they're not on the vine, think, ooh, I don't want to be like that pumpkin. I want to be like that pumpkin that's still on the vine, connected to my Lord and Savior. Let's have a quick prayer. Lord, thank you for these three precious, precious children.
Yes.
And thank you for being connected to us and being willing to let us and wanting us to be connected to you. We love you. Amen.
Amen.
All right. And next is our prayer hymn, God Will Take Care of You. It is verses 1 and 3 that we're going to sing, and it's in on page 130 in your hymnal and on the screens, and you may stay seated.
this song be our take-in to our time of prayer this morning. Let us pray. Almighty God, You are the God of love, the God of protection, God of mercy, the God of care, the God of provision. Lord, there are so many names we can use to describe who You are. Lord, You call for us to be like You. You sent Your Son in order to give us an understanding of more of what that might be like. But Lord, You have even given us the power to become like You. You created us in Your image, and then You also empowered us to become like Your Son, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit's work within us. So Lord, when we sing a song like this that says that You will take care of us, do we understand what that means? How You have worked that out in the world and how You are working that out in our lives? Lord, speak to us. Speak to our hearts to understand that it is through Your church, through Your people, through the people of God, that Your work is completed. You also work through our understanding. You open our minds to see new things. You open our hearts to feel and to be compassionate. All these things are to equip us, O God. Equip us to make our connection with You, to understand who You are and how You work in us, but also to open our eyes to see the work that You are doing and the work that You call us to. But Lord, we need Your help. You know this, and that's why You sent Your Son and You have sent the Holy Spirit to work in us. You know that we need Your help in order to make this change in us, to be able to see where You are, to be able to have the compassion to join You, to have the strength and the courage to step in the gap. Lord, we ask this today. Not only do we want to understand how we are comforted, we want to understand what it means to comfort others. Once we can figure out what we understand as comfort, we'll be able to understand what others need. So Lord, give us wisdom. Transform our hearts and minds. And empower Your community of those who trust in You. Give us courage. Give us strength. Give us Your provision. And call us into action. Lord, we trust in You. We look to each other to help us to see how we can grow together, to be able to truly reflect the image of You and Your Son. Let us now share the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, to draw us all together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. How many times have you looked somewhere for assistance? How many times has our community turned to us to look for assistance? I can tell you our phone rings all the time in the office. It is us as the church, or those who respond to who we are in Christ, that allows for people to be assisted, whether it's us inside or those outside of the church. And this all is possible because of our giving. Ushers, would you please wait upon us? Please join together in this prayer of dedication. Loving God, you protect us from harm and shelter us in your loving arms. Just as you deliver us from evil, may these offerings lead others to find the hope of your salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Our gospel reading is taken from Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. It's the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Jesus said, "There was a certain rich man who was splendidly clothed in purple and fine linen and who lived each day in luxury. At his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus who was covered with sores. As Lazarus lay there longing for scraps from the rich man's table, the dogs would come and lick his open wounds. Finally, the poor man died and was carried by the angels to sit beside Abraham at the heavenly banquet. The rich man also died and was buried, and he went to the place of the dead. There in torment, he saw Abraham in the far distance with Lazarus at his side. The rich man shouted, 'Father Abraham, have some pity. Send Lazarus over here to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I am in anguish in these flames.' But Abraham said to him, 'Son, remember that during your lifetime you had everything you wanted and Lazarus had nothing. So now he is here being comforted and you are in anguish. And besides, there is a great chasm separating us. No one can cross over to you from here and no one can cross over to us from there.' Then the rich man said, 'Please, Father Abraham, at least send him to my father's home, for I have five brothers, and I want him to warn them so they don't end up in this place of torment.' But Abraham said, 'Moses and the prophets have warned them. Your brothers can read what they wrote.' The rich man replied, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone is sent to them from the dead, then they will repent of their sins and turn to God.' But Abraham said, 'If they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Before I get started, let me just say that even though I am the one preaching this message, I am challenged and convicted by Jesus' words in this parable. It doesn't matter if Jesus used parables or straight talk to share this message with his disciples and the religious leaders of his day. The message was clear and there was no way for them to miss what he was saying. We profess that Jesus reigns in our life. So as we hear these words, we receive them as both his disciples and his church. If our commitment to Christ is something we take seriously, we can't just ignore his words or gloss over them. We also trust that under Jesus' reign, he is transforming our heart and lives to align with the way of the Lord and not the way of the world. So in his teachings, Jesus revealed both how we have gone astray and how we can walk with him in his ways. So when Jesus spoke into this arena of money and status, what did he reveal? He pointed out something that we all ready know. And what is it that we know? That there is a socioeconomic gap in the world. Jesus' parable today highlights some things for us to bring to the forefront of our minds and to open our hearts. So let's look at this and consider, what do we know about the socioeconomic gap? To put this parable in context, Jesus shared this soon after he taught about the parable of the shrewd and dishonest manager who not only misused his master's resources, but when he was caught, he used his mind to serve his own interests, dishonoring his master and deceiving his master's debtors to assure his own socioeconomic status. In conclusion, Jesus noted, "No one can serve two masters," and declared, "You cannot serve both God and money." This spoke to the power of wealth and status and the reality that in our brokenness we end up submitting to and worshiping them like God when our allegiance isn't with the Lord, our God. The Pharisees that Jesus was in the midst when he was speaking, and those were the religious leaders of Jesus' faith community, they didn't like what Jesus was teaching. And if we're honest, we don't want to believe we are influenced by wealth and status in this way either. Jesus responded to the Pharisees after sharing that shrewd manager parable. And the Pharisees were sneering at his words. Jesus demanded they examine themselves, saying, "You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of men, but God knows your heart. What is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight." Jesus wanted the Pharisees and wants all people to recognize the struggle we have and to look to the Lord for the transformation of our hearts and minds, to see that everything is God's and we are managers of God's resources. It is after this teaching that Jesus then shared this parable and says, "There was a certain rich man who was splendidly clothed in purple and fine linen and who lived each day in luxury. At his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus who was covered with sores. As Lazarus lay there longing for scraps from the rich man's table, the dogs would come and lick his open sores." Now, this first sentence got the Pharisees' attention in a good way for them, since any one of them could have been the rich man or one who aspired to be someone with such wealth. However, the story quickly changed when Jesus pointed out the poor man Lazarus was outside the gate. This probably aggravated the Pharisees. Can we think of a time when we may have been displeased that someone resembling Lazarus was in our space? In these few sentences, Jesus painted a picture of reality that existed then and exists today. Jesus expressed this disparity between the rich and the poor. And let's take a minute and think about this gap that is skillfully described by Jesus. First, notice the clothing in this parable. The rich man was colorful and had pristine garments which required either rare and expensive dyes or hard work of servants to treat the cotton to become such bright white linens. The poor man is clothed with sores. Yes, Jesus was showing extreme. That's what gets our attention, isn't it? This extreme disparity can be witnessed today, especially since we have access to images all over the world. We can't deny even that outside these walls in this community, we see people who are struggling to have sufficient clothing. Next, consider the living arrangements. The way Jesus describes. The rich man has a luxurious home within a gated compound. The poor man, no home spoken of. Since he was presumably laid at the gate, Jesus might have been suggesting the man was at the mercy of others due to being crippled as well. He wasn't only homeless, he was an outcast. Today there are many people who are homeless, and many that are cast aside for various reasons. We witness this reality. Jesus then referenced the rich man's table, which included all the fixings for daily luxurious meals, whereas the poor man was dependent on the street dogs to drag scraps from in his reach from the rich man's table. The poor man was among the street dogs, where the dogs and the poor man were seen as nothing more than a nuisance. Believe it or not, there are places in the world today where this depth of poverty and need exists, where the dogs and the extremely less fortunate are competing for food. Now, Jesus wasn't teaching the Pharisees or us something we don't already know. The evidence of the socioeconomic gap is overwhelming. At least it is to me. The gap exists and we know it. We can't deny it. We can't hide from it. And then Jesus says, see it. Recognize it. And consider it something that is out of line with the kingdom of God. Jesus didn't stop his story there. He continued suggesting, while you're considering this overwhelming gap, consider this as well. Finally, the poor man died and was carried by the angels to sit beside Abraham at the heavenly banquet. The rich man also died and was buried, and he went to the place of the dead. There in torment, he saw Abraham in a far distance with Lazarus at his side. Notice there was still a gap that separated the unnamed rich man and Lazarus after they both died. The gap was different, but also similar. It was similar in that one character was at the banquet table and the other was among the discarded. The difference? The roles were reversed. And they weren't in Judah or Israel any longer. They were in the heavenly realm. Now, Jesus didn't use this parable to describe what the afterlife was like. But he did make a point for us to consider. This is what we know. The existing socioeconomic gap has eternal implications. Does this get our attention? Jesus wanted it to. We know this gap exists, and Jesus asks, what is our role in it? Jesus calls for his followers to turn away from what we know to be against his will and to be agents of his will. Our salvation in Jesus calls for real change. His words were meant to open our hearts and our minds to the real gaps in our world which exist because of the real gap between our desires and His desire. And then Jesus continued His parable, showing us the gap between our desires and His. In the parable, the rich man for the first time acknowledged Lazarus when he found himself on the other side of the gap. He wanted Lazarus to be sent to help him. However, the response to his request was denied, noting, son, remember that during your lifetime you had everything you wanted, and Lazarus had nothing. So now he is being comforted and you are in anguish. And besides, there's this great chasm separating us. No one can cross over to you from here, and no one can cross over to us from there. Jesus' desire was to comfort. And in this parable, to comfort Lazarus, who in his lifetime was in need. The rich man expected to be served, to get what he wanted in his lifetime. The rich man obviously knew Lazarus by name because he ends up identifying him later, but was unable to see Lazarus' need over his wants. This gap between Jesus' desire and ours is an issue, especially for all who live in comfort. Within this socioeconomic gap, the comfortable often overlook the uncomfortable. Not always. I think we know this. We in some ways have become numb to the existence of the gap. We accept it, and by our inaction, we are okay with it in some way, or we at least in some way rationalize when we don't act. Or we could be like the rich man in the parable and completely be consumed with our lives of comfort that we truly don't see the reality that is available for us to see. The rich man couldn't see. Couldn't see beyond himself and his lifetime, and he couldn't see beyond himself to recognize the impassable chasm. Jesus warns us not to be so blind, so numb to the socioeconomic gap that we can fill before we find ourselves on the wrong side of the gap that only Christ can fill. Remember who Jesus was talking to. The religious leaders and his disciples who were followers of the faith. They knew the teachings of Moses and the prophets, and if they didn't know them specifically, they had access to them. The way of the Lord wasn't and isn't secret. Jesus concluded the parable pointing everyone to the reality that God has been showing us the way that leads to life together in the abundance that God has given us. All of us. Humanity. It is written in the Scriptures and by the Holy Spirit written on the hearts of those who call upon Jesus Christ. Throughout the Bible, we are taught of God's concern for the oppressed, the hungry, the thirsty, the naked, the homeless, the widow, the orphan, the foreigner, the weak, the outcast, the lost. All of these persons, in some way, are in need because of the evils that underlie the socioeconomic gap. We are also taught in the Psalms that God is one who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow. But the way of the wicked He brings to ruin. We may or can admit that we don't read the Bible as much as we should, or even don't read it at all. But if we profess we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit convicts our hearts and reveals to our minds enough to know the Word of God is clear about socioeconomic justice. Remember, we are representatives and agents of God. Again, I'm just the one preaching. Jesus is speaking. And the Holy Spirit is whispering to our hearts what we already know. The evidence of this gap is overwhelming. And it has eternal implications. Our socioeconomic comfort creates blind spots that often block our view of those who are uncomfortable. But we also know that the Word of God, which we claim to be our guide, reveals God's call for socioeconomic justice. So friends, we may struggle with the temptations that our wealth provides and may be overwhelmed by the gap that needs filled. But as followers of Christ, we are called and empowered to fill the gap. And as long as we have life, we are able to fill some gaps. We don't have to fill the whole gap ourselves. There's people, Christ followers, all over the world. Let's focus on filling the gaps that we see. Let's open our hearts to the Holy Spirit and ask for our eyes to be opened to the gaps that exist within our reach, and I also would say within our connection, worldwide connection with the United Methodist Church. So let's fill some gaps together as we here at Faith Community create a safe space for exploring faith and building community with everyone we meet. Amen.
Please rise for our closing hymn, "This Is My Father's World."
This is the Father's world, which we have been gifted to be in the midst of it, but also to be stewards and be wandered by all that is. But as Jesus reminds us today, it's for all of us to share in a way that we can only be led by the Spirit. So let the Spirit in and allow the Spirit to guide you on how you share. Go in peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.